Thank you, thank you. Heaven came down. What a wonderful song. Thank you for that. Well, let's get into the Word of God, shall we? Thank you for those who have come to honor Brother Mineta, and we appreciate you being here for that. Thank you for those that have been here for whatever reason. Others, we're just here because we're supposed to be in church. Thank you for that. And those that are joining us live stream, thank you so much. And as I told a group recently, some folks asked me, well, when should we come back, because we have many folks that aren't coming because of health concerns. And my answer to that is, please, you pray and just follow the Lord. And it may be a while before some of our folks are comfortable in coming back, and that's okay. God will give them wisdom, and God will help them. I'd rather somebody be home if that's going to keep them safe than here if their health isn't something that they should gets them to a place where they shouldn't be. So please feel free to do your leading of the Lord, follow the leading of the Lord in that. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1. We'll look at 1 Samuel 2 and we'll begin reading verse 1. Have a lengthy portion of scripture to read, all 11 verses here in this first section of this chapter. I want to be very practical tonight, and I hope it's a blessing to you, as my prayer, of course, and asking the Lord to help us as we look into it together. And I'll give you the title as you're finding your place there in 1 Samuel 2, and that is, What to Do with Answered Prayer. What to do with answered prayer. Many of us have prayed and seen an answer to prayer that God has given. And then sometimes, like a toddler, after we get what we want, we just simply go on to the next thing that we want. And I want to show you from the scriptures, I believe, some good insight into this. And Hannah prayed. Of course, we remember Hannah. She's the one that did not have any children, and she was so fervently praying before the Lord, so much so that the priest thought she was drunken. And she said, not so, I'm just pouring my heart out to the Lord. And so God did answer her prayer and gave her the son that was going to go, Samuel was going to go serve at the temple there, and God blessed in a mighty way. Now we're picking up on this after Hannah had lent him to the Lord, as the Bible says in verse 28 of chapter 1. Now we're going into where Hannah prays. Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoiced in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child, Samuel, the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. I hope as we had that reading, you got to see the power that was coming in out of Hannah's voice as she was praying here and just saying, Lord, you made things right. And I realize that you may be, if we want to say it like this, pre-Samuel in your praying right now. I realize that you may be pre-miracle in your praying right now. You may be praying ahead, but the answers haven't come yet. You may be like Sarah, who looked as a drunken woman, just pouring her heart out to God, yet he hasn't seen to fit to answer your prayer yet. Or maybe you're like Hannah, and you have now seen the Lord work and answer your prayer, and you've dropped your little Samuel off at the temple. I always tell people, there's a little time out here. We're not looking for children to be dropped off here 24/7 at this temple, at this church. Just in case you want to know whether I'm a literalist. I am a literalist about the Bible, but we don't need your kids. You raise them and then bring them back when they're a little older. But maybe you're post that. Maybe you've already dropped that baby off. Maybe you've dropped that young man off. You've seen the Lord work in that great miracle in your life. I don't know where you're at tonight. Perhaps you're still praying for the Lord to do something, and as Hannah prayed, you're not seeing how it's going to come to pass. But if you're here tonight and you get comfort from the assurance that Hannah gave in that passage of Scripture, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. He has set the world upon Him. He'll keep the feet of His saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. Meaning that by their own strength nobody will make it through. The adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces. If you're not seeing the answer to prayer yet that you want, mark our words down. Mark these words down. That the Lord will come through. He may not come through the way you want Him to come through. How many of you are glad that every prayer you ever prayed didn't get answered? Well, we'd all be in trouble. If the Lord had done answered every prayer in the way we asked Him to answer it, we'd all be in a heap of a mess. But tonight, I'm wondering how many times we've been like a toddler that we simply ask for what we want right then, and as soon as it gets answered, then we move on to the next desire of our heart. Not stopping to thank the person that gave whatever it was, we simply go on to the next item on our wish list. And then I want to ask the question, how many of us have a great labor in prayer, truly not knowing really what to say? You hear the old timers talk about sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And some of the people sitting in this room tonight would say, I don't know, preacher, how I would ever pray for a whole hour in a row. Sometimes you find it hard to figure out what you're supposed to pray for. And so that's the second thing I'd like to give you. First of all, I'd like to give you that aspect of all those of us who've been guilty of praying for one thing, seeing it answered, and then going right on to the next thing on our wish list. And then the other part of maybe you don't know how to pray for a long time. I think I can help you with both of those. God, help us now is our prayer. Lord, we're thankful for what You've done in other services. We're thankful for what You've blessed us with. We're thankful for the opportunity that we had, the special time in the service that we had to just honor the Minettas. I pray, dear Lord, I praise You for that. Now, Lord, as we get to this part, I ask You to be with us and help us. Lord, would You please come amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 1, verse number 6, Hannah was without children. Her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah's without children, and so a few verses later, you see in verse 11 of chapter 1, she prayed and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if Thou will indeed look on the affliction of Thine handmaid and remember me and not forget Thine handmaid, but will give unto Thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Hannah was without a child, and then she comes to a place where she says, God, please. I could tell you stories tonight of people who are close to us, one of which, a pastor that got done preaching a prayer series, and as his pastor wife met him at the steps in their house, said, do you believe what you preached tonight? Now, you want to get a pastor fired up, that's the way to do it. Go home, your wife says, you even believe what you just said? He said, I sure do. And she said, could we pray for a baby? Because up till then, God hadn't given him one. And God did. And our family, God's blessed in that way. Some family members of ours. God blesses with answered prayer. Now, as I mentioned already, He doesn't always answer the way you want Him to. You understand that if it's a child or if it's wintertime, now that we've been out of school, it's all thrown in for a loop. But you understand, if every kid got their wish, they'd never go to school all December. And oftentimes you've got a mom praying, God, please send the school bus. And you got a kid over here praying, oh, God, keep that school bus away. Somebody's going to lose. Now, Mom, if your prayers are getting outdone by the 8-year-old, then we need to talk, possibly. But you understand that God doesn't always answer yes. But I want to focus on a few things tonight. I believe everybody in this room, you've seen some answered prayer. I hope you have. I want to focus on some things that God might help us in as we what to do with answered prayer. I want you to see the first one is listed in verse number 1. Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." The last phrase, "because I rejoice in thy salvation." Can I tell you the first thing that we ought to do when God answers prayer is rejoice in salvation. You ask, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with answered prayer? It's always a good time to praise the Lord for salvation. As the old-timers used to say, this one old-timer, he'd say, "Hold this mule, I'm about to shout," because you've got the idea that the only way we get answered prayer is because we can have a prayer answering God, and that God will hear our prayers because we're in His family. One common misconception in all of our nation right now is that God's the Father of all of us. We're all God's children. We're all God's creation. But God, the Word of God, puts a great distinction between all of His creation and those that are in His family. Jesus said, put it this way, "You're of your father, the devil." And so you understand that until we get born again into the family of God, then we don't have that relationship of a father and a son, father and a daughter. And those prayers that we might pray don't have that attention of the Father. My friend, I'm telling you this evening, every time that you get a prayer answered, it's time for us to rejoice in the fact that we have a God that's our Heavenly Father that hears and answers prayer. And so as we see Hannah here in this passage, she says, "Because I rejoice." If you're looking at the text, church, what's that next word? Thy. God's salvation. I'm rejoicing because I got in on it. You understand God's salvation is good with or without us. You understand that God's doing good before we entered into the program. God wasn't biting His nails saying, "I sure hope so-and-so comes into this thing of salvation." God was doing good. He's the Savior. He's the one that provides salvation. And Hannah, as she looked up to Him, said, "God, I rejoice in Thy salvation." Praise the Lord, we're in the family. I read a story recently as I was preparing for this message of a survivor of a concentration camp. And in this summary of what this particular person went through, there was a group that was in the concentration camp with this person giving the giving the report, and said this certain group, they didn't waste a bullet and they weren't willing to waste any poison on this person, this group, they were just going to let this group, as best he could tell, starve. And he said he watched this Christian, this is in his memoirs, he said he watched this Christian gentleman on his knees praying to God, thanking God for His blessed presence in the worst ordeal that he'd ever went through. And the person giving the memoirs, the person giving the report afterwards, survived. That person that he was making reference to did not. Eventually, after being tired of waiting on the death to come, they finally injected him with some sort of acid and his life was ended. But the person that was writing the report, writing the memoirs, said they never got over the faith that that Christian had, knowing that death was imminent, not questioning why God's allowing this to happen, not lashing out at God because I'm one of yours, why is this happening? Simply trusting God that what He saw fit to allow, this person that was facing it was going to be okay with it. Friend, it's always right to thank God for your salvation. I may not have the answers to what problems you're going through. If you come and spend time in my office and say, "Preacher, I don't understand. Can you help me?" You may not have any more answers when you leave than what you did when you came. But I'm going to tell you one thing I'll tell you. We're going to stop right now, first of all, and thank God for our salvation. Because whatever problem you brought to me, if you're a child of God, it's not going to be the end of you. And whatever problem you brought to me, if you're a child of God, you can come through it. And whatever problem you brought through me, if you don't come through it the way the world would say, then the Lord will have the victory anyways. As I spent time with the precious widower, and he said that he was praying and praying and praying for his wife to be healed of whatever this particular affliction she had. And she passed. And this widower said, "Preacher, for the longest time, I couldn't understand why God didn't answer my prayer. I begged and begged and begged, Lord, please heal." And he gave her name, which I won't deny. And so for some season, he had a time of asking why. But then he said it finally broke through as if a light bulb came on. He said, "Preacher, I was asking God to heal her. I was asking God to end her pain and heal her." And he said, as if God flipped the light switch on, the thought came to me by the blessed Holy Spirit, "I did heal her. I healed her in a greater way than you ever prayed for me to. I took her to me." Where's the problems that you were worried about were not going to get healed only to be replaced by bigger problems later. You ever think about Lazarus? Jesus raised him from the dead. You know what happened to him again? As far as we know, he died. You know, sometimes I wonder if he got to the end and maybe he knew it was coming. I wonder sometimes he thought, "Oh man, not this again." And that widower said, "Preacher, God did heal her. He just didn't heal her in the way I wanted." But at the end of that meeting, this widower, sweet man of God, rejoiced in salvation. And as Hannah had answered prayer, because little Samuel, although she didn't get to enjoy raising him all of his life because he was at the temple, she rejoiced in thy salvation. What do you do with answered prayer? Number one, you rejoice in God's salvation. Number two, you revisit God's power. Look, if you will, in verse number 2 of our text, chapter 2, verse 2. You revisit God's power, meaning you just rehearse and you revisit what He did. Verse number 2 says this, "There's none holy as the Lord. There's none beside Thee, neither is there any rock like our God." You revisit those promises that God gave. Verse number 8 says, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar of the dunghill to set them among princes." Verse number 9, "He'll keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail." Haven't you heard that song, "Count Your Blessings"? Name them one by one. Do you think God needs for us to count our blessings so that He'll remember what He's done for you? God's never forgot a thing. The only thing God's ever forgotten is the sins that He'll remember against us no more. And that's a willing act that God did because He wanted to provide for us salvation. But you ought to revisit God's power. You ought to revisit the working of God. As God answers prayer, we ought to stay. If you never answer another prayer from here on, I've got enough to rewind this, for you old timers, that VCR. I got enough to rewind this VCR of life, and I can watch over and over what you've already done. For some of you newer ones, that'd be your video files, your whatever. But he revisited God's power. Could you flip through places at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church where maybe God saved your soul? Maybe it's down here. Maybe it was back in that other, in the chapel we call it now. Maybe it's one of these Sunday school classes. Could you take me up a little holler of a church up in West Virginia? Take me there tonight and show me the spot on the altar where you kneeled down and ask Christ to be your Savior. Could you take me to that place where you knelt beside your mom's knee and she preciously showed you the Word of God and the salvation plan and you asked Jesus to be your Savior?
My friend, you ought to revisit the power of God in your life. You ought to revisit what God's done for you. You say, well, it's already happened. Yeah, but we ought to visit again and again. You know, there's one of these days, humanly speaking, we'll look through pictures and all we'll have of our family is memories. You'll either scroll through them digitally or you'll get some old photo albums out. And you'll revisit different places. Isn't it funny how you can hear a song and it brings back the emotion of what was going on? That particular song was just a little phrase of time or space of time that you remember what was going on when you hear that particular song. You revisit that again and again. And what Hannah's doing in this prayer that she gives, she's revisiting the power of God. God, you're the one that won't let anybody get up on you. You're the one that will keep the feet of the saints. You're the one that will make the wicked silent in their darkness. Lord, you're the one that will make it that the adversaries of yours shall be broken to pieces. God, I'm revisiting your power again and again and again. Hannah takes this opportunity just to look at what the Lord's done. First, she rejoices in salvation. Lord, I'm glad to be saved. Tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, whenever it is, when you want to go to your prayer closet, when you want to spend time as a teenager sometimes and you want to pray, and you say, I don't know how to pray for very long. Let me give you this. Why don't you just start some time saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm saved. And then don't let it end there. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to go to a wicked place called hell. Lord, I'm thankful that I was raised up in the family where it was easy for me to hear the gospel. Lord, I'm thankful I was raised up in a country where it was prevalent to hear that message. Lord, I'm thankful for this. We ought to rejoice in the salvation that God has given us. We ought not to have trouble praying for 15 minutes. Sometimes we get the wrong idea about prayer and we think, well, I don't have enough prayer. I don't have enough list on there to say, God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. And we're not like, and we act as if it's a recipe that, God, I need this and this and this. Some of the sweetest times that you might ever have in prayer are when you just sit there and thank God for what He's already given you. Rejoice in God's salvation. Revisit God's power. Then look down in verse number 11, if you will. And Elkanah, her husband, went to Ramah, to his house. And then that next verse, or next sentence, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli, the priest. Not only do you rejoice in salvation and revisit God's power, but remember your vows. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 5 says, better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Hannah said, Lord, if you give me him, I'll give him back. Now, any mother in here knows that'd have been a hard promise to keep. Father's Day, any of you fathers know that would have been a tough one to fulfill. Well, Lord, you don't expect me to do this. Surely not that. Well, Lord, I was just speaking a little out of turn. Lord, I was just speaking in generalities. And it's amazing what we will allow ourselves to get off the hook with. Well, Lord, I didn't mean that. But Hannah remembered her vows. Many a man and back in war times has promised God things in the foxhole only to forget it later. But foxhole prayers aren't the only ones that have gone unacted upon, that have gone unfulfilled. Promises when you were in bad times sometimes also go unfulfilled. My friend, are you all square with God? You know what I mean, squared up? You're all good. You haven't promised Him things. Lord, I'm going to do that. You think the Lord forgot when we promised certain things to Him? He hasn't forgot. I've been in services before where God came down and impressed upon me things to do. And all I could do was promise God, if you let me get out of this service, I'll go make that call. I'll go call somebody. I'll go fix it. I'll go do whatever it is. I'll get it right, Lord, if you'll only let me get out of there. My friend, those are serious promises. Don't make those haphazardly. Don't be nonchalant in those promises. You know, we come to a place in our society where we play fast and loose with the words that we say. But Hannah remembered her vows. You could have went down there and found that boy ministering before Eli, all because Hannah had kept her word. So what do you do when God answers prayer? Number one, you rejoice in salvation. Nobody in this room should ever have problems figuring out what to do when prayer time comes along. You just rejoice that you're saved. You say, I did that yesterday. Well, if you're still saved today, which I'm sure you are, then rejoice again. And tomorrow when you get on your knees, rejoice again. Tomorrow when you get in that chair and you got your coffee and your Bible, rejoice again. Tomorrow when you're out on the back deck and you're starting to pray, what do I pray for? You start off, Lord, thank you that I'm saved. And you let that set in for you, settle in on you for a little while. And then you revisit God's power. Holy is the Lord, the Bible says. He raiseth up the poor, the Bible says. He will keep the faith of His saints. Revisit God's power. Do us good to go down memory lane a little bit. Do you good to remember back through and take a little chronicle of your life. Lord, I remember when you did that. You say, well, let me give you an example. I'm big on coming to the altar. I love people to come to the altar. I'm not getting on to anybody. But one of the reasons is there's so many good things happened at an altar like this for me. I came and made my salvation public. I got ordained at an altar of an independent Baptist church. Got married at the altar of an independent Baptist church. And I can go back in my mind to those places and say, Lord, you've been awful good to me. Lord, you've done so many wonderful things, and I love to revisit the blessings that God has put on my life. We moved to Washington, Iowa, not long after we got there. We were blessed to have our firstborn enter into our home, Jared. He was born up there. And then about 2 years later, our second, our redhead, came along. Both those were born in a Mercy Hospital, a Catholic hospital in Iowa City. And I revisit those times in my mind, think about how blessed I am to be a father on this day. We moved from there, moved to below Nashville, and then Allie, I call her our Southern Baptist. She was born in the Baptist hospital in Nashville. We had two Catholics and one Southern Baptist. And I revisit those times that God visited our home. And my friend, when you're having trouble with what to pray about, you ought to be able to remember, revisit God's special points in your life. Just like Hannah did. God's going to keep the feet of His saints. God's going to raise up the poor. None as holy as you. And then she remembered her vows. I pray that tonight, maybe it's just giving you a little bit more ammunition when you go to prayer tomorrow. What you can do with answered prayer. Father, bless us now. Lord, it's been a different evening. I thank you for it. And Lord, one thing I hear over and over again in talking with people, especially young people, is not knowing what to pray about. Lord, I pray that we've given some ammunition from the Word of God to how to counter that. Lord, if you never did another thing for this guy, this old boy right here, you've done enough to keep me praising you for the rest of my days. If you never give me another answered prayer, dear Lord, I'm going to thank you for the ones you've given me. Lord, I don't have enough time to thank you for what you've already done, let alone what you're going to do. I pray I could be faithful like Hannah. And remember my vows and revisit your power and rejoice in your salvation. Lord, help us in this, I pray. My invitation is this, if God's moved upon your heart, I challenge you to do business with Him, and maybe there's some memory lanes that you need to walk down as well. Maybe it's been a long time since you thought about that night that you got saved. Maybe it's been a long time since you thank God for that human instrument that God used to bring the gospel to you. Maybe you needed to hear this on Father's Day to remember that you don't have a perfect father on this earth. You have a perfect heavenly father. You don't have a perfect father, nor ever did you ever have a perfect father, but you ought to thank God for him anyway. Honor your father and mother. Lord, help us, I pray. As our piano player begins to play, would you stand together with me and the organ plays? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come to the altar and maybe you just want to spend a little sweet time with God, thanking Him for what He's done, thanking Him for His blessings, thanking Him for His salvation, thanking Him for His power, thanking Him for the goodness that He's bestowed upon you. Oh, my friend. Oh, God's been good to us. Folks, if we ever see the Lord do anything in our lives, we're going to have to get ourselves humbled before Him and be grateful and thankful and praise His name. If you're saved tonight, would you let that holy film roll of what God's already done for you and spend some time praising Him right now? Thanking Him for what He's given you in His life, salvation and His power. And if there's something back there that you told Him you'd do, my friend, I tell you as a friend, you better get busy doing it. Let's not wait till we get to heaven and say, Lord, I never did. If you're here tonight, as they continue to play, you're here tonight, you're not saved. You can't rejoice in salvation because you don't have it. My friend, there's a promise that God gives us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to be saved. Would you step out and come? Me or somebody would like to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. Anyone at all, please come. If you're watching on live stream, the number's before you. Call and we'd be glad to help. Email, whichever. Well, let's get it settled. Let's get it shored up. Now, Father, please help us. Lord, I pray that you would help us keep our eye on you. Lord, Hannah didn't find herself whining and complaining that she had to give up her son. She's just praising you that you saw fit to give her one. Lord, please help us to keep our eye on you. Well, thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you so much. Well, I trust you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I know for one, I am here, and I trust that you didn't either. We didn't come for a show. Didn't come to let other people pat us on the back and say, boy, you're a good boy. You did a good job, or a good girl. You did a good job. We're just here because we want to meet with the Lord. And thank you for being in church. Tonight, we've had the distinct privilege of honoring Brother John and Miss Naomi Minetta. Thank God for the service that they've given. And I know that socially distant days, we have a little difficulty, but I'm going to ask Brother John and Miss Naomi to go out by the table that's in the lobby, and you get by and greet them and tell them you're praying for them. I'll be out there a little bit to fellowship as well. And like I said, we'd love to have done it in the gym where it had more time and more space, but just the days we live in, you right now. So you bear with us in that. But you get by and tell them you're praying for them. If you brought a card, there's a basket out there. You can drop that in. Brother John, Miss Naomi, thank you so much for your service. And then again, thank you for being here tonight. I want you to ask you a favor. Pray for me. I'll be gone this week at a camp in Arkansas and preaching to the young people a couple times a day. So you pray for me. God bless us. It'll be hot, humid, dusty, but it's not going to rain. So, you know, not give rain, give us any relief. So it's either bad or worse. But God will bless. I'm praying that He will. So you pray for us. Brother David will be preaching Wednesday night, and I know he'll do a great job. I want you to be here and hear him. I'm going to be praying for him, and Brother Bob will be leading the first part of the service, and we'll have a great time in God's house. I'll be down there. You pray for me, and thank you so much. Brother Bob, we got anything else? Offering buckets are back there in the back. Try not to spend too much time congregating there. We're still trying to keep as distant as we can, but drop in your offering on the way back. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.